part of my desire for the table is that we become a church of disciples who make disciples. That's the goal. And so part of how we do our sermons and how we will increasingly do them is I want to make sure that you all talk. I want to make sure that you have practice and experience having spiritual thoughts and expressing those good truths as well. So I'm going to talk, but then I also want us to interact, because this table, this communal table, is important. But part of our vision for how we live as the Table Covenant Church is we know that lives change at the table. And so there's an expectation that you come and you bring your friends here. Or you come and you invite a friend to Starbucks, to your table, and you interact with them in real ways. And there will be times when you are asked a question. And I want you to be used to saying, I don't know, that's a really good question. Or I want you to be used to articulating good answers and having deep spiritual thoughts. I love our time together where I set the table and then we talk. I love the deep thoughts that I've heard here as we gather. And I think that's a crucial part of who we are together. And it's something that the world so desperately needs. As we've lit the first candle of Advent, the hope candle, we have hope that the world so desperately needs. In this chapter of Luke 15, we hear the stories of the lost being found and being celebrated. And we hear about the character of God our Father. And those are messages that the world needs to hear. And the world isn't going to come to the table. We need to bring the table to our world. And so that's how we do it. And so I want you to interact with me about this. I want you to notice in each of these there's a pattern. Something is lost and it's found. But before the found part, there's searching, and after the found part, there's rejoicing. So the order goes lost, searching, found, rejoicing. Think about the first example. The first story was about what? Lost sheep. How many sheep were there? 100. How many wandered away? One. This sheep is lost. The shepherd looks for it, searches for it, finds it, and then what happens?
Carries it home.
Brings it home, and party ensues. Good. Second one. Not a sheep this time. Not something that can wander away unthinkingly. Inanimate object. It's a what?
Coin.
This time not one of 100, but one of 10. Even more precious. You have something that's lost. Searching ensues. Maybe you can relate. You've got something that's valuable to you. Maybe car keys. Maybe your phone. I don't know, maybe your charger. You know that you had it. You turn the house upside down. You don't stop finding until you find it. You don't stop searching until you... There we go. I saw that look in Carrie's face and I had to replay what I said. Right. You don't stop searching until you find it. And then one thing that I don't always do is I don't often tell people, because again, it's the lost and searching, finding it, and then
party.
The party ensues. And then the third. But this one's much more drawn out. It's not just an inanimate object that's lost. It's not a sheep that doing what a sheep does gets lost. This is one of two, not one out of 100, not one out of 10, one of two who willfully chooses to go away. Situation is very different, but still the order is the same. There's the lost, there's the searching, there's the found part, and there's the celebration. Last night, Carrie and I were watching TV, and The Chronicles of Narnia was on. And it was in the scene where Edmund had just been rescued from the clutches of the White Witch. And he was face-to-face with Aslan. You don't hear what they're saying. Aslan brings back Edmund to his brothers, his brother and sisters. And Aslan's command to them is, don't talk about what was past. And I got a little indignant. I was a little bit upset, and I actually said something to Carrie, and it was not till this morning that I thought, that's what the older brother would do. Because I thought, you know what? Edmund actually did something wrong to Peter and Lucy and there's one other Pevensey girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lucy's the little one. Susan. Yeah. Thank you. So there, Edmund, yes, sinned against Aslan, sinned against God, but he also betrayed his brother and sisters. But the command that Aslan gives is, you guys don't get to talk to him about that. That's in the past that has been forgiven. I thought that was really interesting because that's the same sort of kerfuffle we get here with the older son and the younger brother. Remember that beginning part of chapter 15 that I had each section start with again. Why did Jesus tell these stories? It's not just that lost are being found because they're searching and then there's rejoicing. Why did Jesus tell these stories? So the tax collectors and sinners were there, yes. And they were within hearing. But the parable wasn't as much for them.
As for the Pharisees.
As for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Why?
Because they are still lost.
They're judging everybody.
Because they were judging. Remember, they were giving Jesus a hard time because he was hanging out with them. He was eating with them. And so these people who are the good religious people, doing what good religious people often do, they were judging. And they were judging Jesus harshly because they didn't like the people that Jesus was hanging out with. So Jesus tells this story, the same story three different times, the three different subjects, three different characters. What do you think, and this isn't a rhetorical question, I actually want to hear your answers. What do you think the moral of this story is? What do you think is the lesson that Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law with these three stories? If you've never heard it that way before, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that Jesus has done everything possible to make a real relationship with you possible. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. All you need to do is receive it. This isn't where you have to be perfect first. Be welcomed into God's family. God loves you now. God accepts you now. And if you're not ready to accept that yet, He will continue searching. He will continue looking until you have been found. And that's true for your sister. That's true for your brother. That's true for your cousin, any member of your family, your neighbor, your coworker. That's true for every single person on the face of this planet. And that's why we exist as a church. To be disciples who make disciples. Not because we want to grow so big that, you know, we need a professional caterer. We already have one. It's because lost people matter to God. It's because God invites you to search for them. Jesus wanted the Pharisees to join him in that endeavor of telling the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the other sinners that you matter. Come be a part of the family and join the party. This is the message for hope for our world. This is a message that breaks the divide in every single instance where there's a conflict and religious people take one side or another and culture jumps into. This is the leveler. This is the thing that stops those petty arguments. It just says, you know what? God loves both sides here because God loves all of us. And that's a message that you get to take with you into your world. And that's why you get to carry hope with you wherever you go. Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, that when we were lost, you searched for us until we were found. For those of us who are still lost, for those we know who still have not come back, oh God, would you search for them? Search for them until they are found. And we commit, oh Holy God, to not pout or to throw a pity party, but instead rejoice and celebrate that the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost brother has been found. These people who are precious to you are also precious to us. Help us not to be like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who don't understand why or how you could love everybody the way that you do. Help us instead to look more like you. And help us, God, to bring hope to those who are hopeless. And remember that we are not alone as we do it. In Jesus' name we pray.